Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2018, and this...
It won't be easy. You're going to have to fly to Las Vegas in a private jet ASAP, stay in some fancy hotel, and throw money away like there's no tomorrow.
Ah, that's going to be really tough.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 657.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! Do you think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I am just fine. How are you?
Afternoon, whatever time of day it is. I'm doing well. I'm very good. We were in Las Vegas last week, in case you forgot already.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good time.
It was a good time.
I'm feeling good. I'm refreshed. I have a lot to say. I have a lot to talk about.
You always
about.
Have a lot to say, though.
I know, but I have a lot of things about our trip, many of which we will hold for next week, because we have a lot of news to get caught up on. We have a lot of phone calls, but it's good to be talking about Las Vegas anyway. How are you feeling in the post Vegas emotional realm?
Surprisingly good.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've recovered from this trip. I had virtually no post Vegas doldrums this time.
Same here. I just unpacked very quickly. Sometimes I'll take like 2 or 3 weeks to really get everything put away.
Yeah.
Except for the necessities. I just got back into my normal routine. And
I know, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
but weird. It was good.
I know, for me too, because sometimes it's like a week or two and I'm just not, I don't have any energy and I'm just bummed out and I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it helps that we have additional things planned.
I think it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we're gonna talk a little bit this week. We have an amusing anecdote about our trip, and then we're going to save the reviews for next week, but we have a little bit to talk about after getting all caught up on the news. But before that, we want to thank our Patreon patrons for being loyal supporters of this show. They include Andrew Atten, Anna, George and Kathy, who we saw in Las Vegas and had a wonderful time with, JP from Boston, David Schneider, David Smith, and Marcy Walcott. Thank you to these and all of our Patreon supporters.
Hey.
If you're wondering what this is all about, you can support the show on a monthly basis. We throw some bonus content at you once in a while as a way of saying thank you. And in fact, I have a couple things that we filmed in Las Vegas that I have to whip into shape and post maybe in the next week or so. And you can check out patreon.com/500 for details. I'm back in full lip stumble mode.
You and me both.
All right, let's kick it off with... what to me is the most exciting news since we last met here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Official details about Lady Gaga's residency at Park Theater. This is the most excited I've been about a Las Vegas residency, possibly since Prince.
Yeah.
Definitely since Prince. I was going to say since we started doing the show, but then I remembered Prince had that extended stretch at Rio, yeah, which was wonderful. So I'm very excited. If you are a fan of Lady Gaga's, if you've seen her live, you understand why. She's an amazing performer. And if you aren't into Gaga, well, more for us.
Yes.
All right, so here are the details. She's going to be doing her show beginning on December 28th. They've announced dates through 2018, although I believe she has a multi-year contract.
You mean 2019?
2019. Thank you for correcting me. Yes.
Yeah.
She starts December 28th, 2018. Dates have been announced through next year.
Yes.
She's going to be doing two separate shows. I've got some. These are all classic Gaga bangers.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be doing two different shows, as we discussed on our last show. She's going to be doing 23 of the main show called Enigma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a highly produced greatest hit show. And when I say highly produced, Gaga goes all out. It's going to be dancers and
spectacle.
It's going to be like
costume changes,
amazing.
Set changes. Yeah.
And the thing about her doing that type of show, it's not to
not to distract from.
Right. Like, so Britney Spears has to do that stuff to distract from the fact that she can't sing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case with Lady Gaga. She's a tremendous performer. She can actually pull it off, which mm-hmm. will be evidence in her second show, Jazz and Piano. She's only doing 4 of those in the first year. And that is going to be amazing. I think when we first started talking about the prospects of her doing a show in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. we discussed how much we would love it if she would just do a stripped back show of just her at the piano.
Yep.
Whenever we've seen her a couple times, and when she does the arena show, there's a section of the show where she will just sit at the piano and perform,
mm-hmm.
and it is always highly amazing, and that's where you realize, holy shit, she is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that will sound something like this. Tickets have been on sale. I'm going to listen for a second. How many times am I going to cry during the show?
I don't know.
Thinks it's right when it's so wrong. Tonight, yeah, baby. Night, yeah, baby. Right on the limits where we know we both belong. Tonight.
If you want to see some really good Gaga solo performances, go to YouTube and search for her performances. She's been on Howard Stern's show a few times, and it's always, this is one of the clips.
Mm-hmm.
And she strips back her songs and just does this, and they're all incredible. So for the Jazz and Piano show, she's going to be doing stripped down versions of her hits and then standards from the Great American Songbook, as they say,
mm-hmm.
which isn't an actual book. in case you had any, what is this book? I wish to purchase it. All right, tickets have been on sale through a wide variety of pre-sales for the past several days. So if you really wanted to go to this, I hope you already got your tickets. You can check Ticketmaster and see what's left. Tickets are $80 and up plus fees. Realistically, most of the tickets you're going to spend $200 to $300 all in.
Yeah.
I don't know how many tickets were available at that $80 level, but I think they're pretty minimal. But again, small theater. Totally worth it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for this. Have I mentioned I'm very excited for this?
You have.
We're going to be seeing Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other thoughts on this wonderful development since our last podcast?
No thoughts. Just joy.
I'm joyful. All right. So there you go. That is the Lady Gaga residency, and we can't wait for it to start and for reviews to come rolling in and all that stuff. All right, as we mentioned on a show a while back, this is for people who may not be Lady Gaga fans, although I bet there is some quite a bit of crossover, mm-hmm. because at her heart, Lady Gaga, she's all rock.
Mm-hmm.
I know she does all the dance stuff, but she has...
She can rock, too.
She's a rock and roll heart. Yeah, a while back, rumors started that Aerosmith would be doing a residency in Las Vegas, and indeed, they are going to be announcing it officially on the Today Show this Wednesday. We know that because Joe Perry has loose lips. You can take that how you wish. He was on Sirius XM this week and said that the stretch of shows in Las Vegas will occur next year, 2019, in celebration of the band's 50th anniversary. So I would imagine right here on this very podcast next week, we'll be playing a few Aerosmith clips,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be discussing the details of that residency. Rumored to also be at the Park Theater.
Oh, okay.
But that, of course, is not official yet. So we shall see. All right.
It would be fun to see them in a small venue as well.
I agree. I have not seen a full Aerosmith show, and I think if I were to do so, that would be how I would want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Las Vegas makes everything more fun. There is a new show from Criss Angel, the long rumored, all these things are long rumored, and they're finally being, I think it seems like we're in 2019 announcement season.
Mm-hmm.
Criss Angel's new show is opening at the end of this year, December 18th, at the renamed Criss Angel Theater at Planet Hollywood. He's moving from Luxor after 10 years with an all-new show of magical stuff.
Something.
And whatever he does.
Which theater? I'm sure you told me before.
The upstairs one. The
upstairs one, okay.
The one where Brittany... Wait a minute. No, it wouldn't be Brittany's theater. It would be the other one. Yeah, because that's the Zappos, or the Access
Zappos Theater. Yeah, where Brittany and Backstreet Boys and Gwen Stefani. And...
Yeah, so this would be the other one, the one upstairs on the mezz level. 75 illusions and 20 never-before-seen effects. So that has me puzzled. Is he doing the same illusions and just adding like different... Hey, let's use the orange smoke instead of the white smoke for this one.
Oh,
that's never been seen before.
Let's not dive too deep into this.
Okay. Shows are going to happen Wednesdays through Sundays at 7 p.m. Tickets are $75 to $139 plus Ticketmaster fees. He had a 10-year run at Luxor, so apparently somebody enjoys this.
Mm-hmm.
I know
if you enjoy it, great. More for you.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be seeing. No, I can emphatically say I will never see Criss Angel's show. But I know that we will have some people who do. And I would encourage you to please call in a review. And like, we're not going to mock you if you like this. I think sometimes we get that reputation that because we're snotty about things. But I'm not going to make fun of someone because they like this. I will make fun of Criss Angel.
Yes.
I will mock him because of his whole image. And although I know that there are many tales of him being a wonderful human being when it comes to charity work and things like that.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. But just not a fan of his whole shtick.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to call in a review, we would love to hear it. I like having people call in about things that we're not necessarily into.
Mm-hmm.
So please share. All right. Let's talk about something I think we can all agree on, and that is that MGM Resorts is a very shitty company.
Oh, my God.
They have stepped on their proverbial dick once again.
Wait. That's implying things.
That they have a dick?
And that it's long.
Well... They have multiple people there. Someone could have stepped on someone else's dick. I don't know. So here's the deal. MGM Resorts, which has been all over the news for...
Not saying that length is everything.
I don't know what we're doing here.
Okay.
MGM Resorts is adding a 20% service fee to its spa and salon services at Aria, Bellagio, Vidara, Mandalay Bay, and Delano, according to the Review Journal. This is going to happen by the end of the month. Here's the thing. Now, the other spas owned by... MGM Resorts, Mirage and whatnot, they already have this charge. So we'll get into that in a second, I guess. Mm-hmm. But given the state of MGM's image.
Which is not good.
That's not good for a variety of reasons. You might want to hold off on doing anything that could be perceived as being not
bad
positive
for
your customers.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here's the explanation from... MGM Resorts, our policies are based on industry standards and focus on providing superior service and an unforgettable guest experience. That is from Brian Ahern, Director of Corporate Media Relations and Corporate Schmuck for MGM Resorts. And by the way, I know that we have MGM Resorts, like communications people listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You all are, I feel bad for you, and yet
right.
You're all doing the devil's work right now. So, industry standards. The Review Journal, I applaud them for this. They contacted some of the other strip casino companies that have spas, including Caesars Entertainment and Wynn. They both said, "Hey, we don't do this."
So it's not an industry standard.
Apparently not.
Were people demanding it? Like they were demanding resort fees?
I don't know. MGM Resorts is saying this essentially replaces tips. So in theory, this is a service fee that would be passed on to the people.
They're pretending it's like a large party fee for a restaurant where sit down and they're like, there'll be an 18-20% charge for large parties or whatever.
That is applicable, or room service where there's a service mm-hmm. fee. It's already the gratuity is already thrown in. But mm-hmm. how many of us have ordered room service and
tipped anyway
out of either guilt or just not realizing that that's mm-hmm. what it's for? So there'll be a lot of that going on. If indeed this does all go to the people, that's great, but I think that it should be clearly stated gratuity
mm-hmm.
rather than service fee, because customers are, you know, they're used to tipping in Las Vegas for everything, and they see this and they might not know and think, oh, it's, they're so used to being feed to death that they might not know that this is the gratuity unless it's clearly stated as such. Regardless, MGM, fuck, if you're planning on making any changes to anything at all, just stop for a while, because unless it's obviously like great for the customer and not doesn't require a spin to tell us that it's good for the customer, you're just making yourself look worse. And it's like they're in a competition for world's most hated company. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Might want to get a crisis communications team together. I would think they would already have one, given the whole suing the victims thing and all the bad press from that. Yeah. But they obviously weren't involved in this, I wouldn't think. Fucking A. Remember a few years ago when Steve Wynn went on one of his conference calls and was bragging about decreasing the odds on craps and how he was responsible for that? And I went off on a little tangent about how Steve Wynn hates you. MGM Resorts hates you. If you're a customer of theirs, they do not give a shit about you. It's very clear from this. All they care about is their stock prices and anything else. They do not care about
you at all. I feel bad for people who work there and have to listen to...
Yeah, I do too. The frontline workers especially.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad so much for the communications people who have to spin this. I kind of do because I've been in that position. But we all make choices. You can get out.
It's not always easy.
I know. I say that as somebody who was in the shit industry for 20 years. But anyway. What else? Anything else to say about MGM and how much they hate their customers and what a shitty company they've become? I'm a little bitter towards MGM.
Really?
And every time I see this, too, I get knotted up when we get into this, like, because it leads to all the, oh, Las Vegas is over, there's no value there, it's all that. I know in a lot of that is hyperbole, but stop it. Stop it, you fucking idiots who are running these companies. Fucking stop it. Just take a break. Do something nice for your customers for once. And not something that requires explanation. Just do something good. Lower your somethings. Eliminate something.
Yeah.
Eliminate a fee. Eliminate a, I don't know. Make your customers want to like you. It's becoming increasingly difficult to do so. Assholes. All right.
Did we spend any time in MGM properties during this trip?
We did not spend any money in them. If we did, no, I don't think we did.
Was it a conscious or unconscious decision?
I'd say more unconscious, although I'm certainly probably... I wrote a thing recently about, for the Patreon folks, about the challenge of wanting to be socially responsible and yet in Las Vegas not wanting to care about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit about which hotels are union and non-union and where they stand. I don't give a crap about any of that when I'm there. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about where the owner stands politically. I'm in Las Vegas. Fuck it. I'm not going to worry about it now. And that I feel some guilt about those things, but as a general rule, this is my escape. I'm going to treat it as my escape, even if I feel a little bit bad about not caring about things that normally I might care about. So with MGM stuff, I'm getting closer to the point where I care enough where I would just say, fuck it, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to their properties.
Which is too bad.
It's a different thing. It's not a political thing. I feel like they're fucking me over. That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Which is too bad because we made a point to go there last year after the shootings because we wanted to support the workers.
And now I'm just like.
And now, yeah.
I'm having a hard time wanting anything good for this company. I wish that something would happen in which they'd have to split up their into multiple companies or something. I don't know, but. Blood pressure. Okay, let's move on to other things.
Should we take your blood pressure right now and see how it's going?
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's talk about something that will probably make me feel better, and that is, you know, shopping.
Oh, you love shopping so much.
All right. yeah, so Target. Are you familiar with Target?
I'm quite familiar with Target.
Target, where roughly a quarter of our income goes every month.
Pretty much.
Is planning to open a smaller version of its stores on the Strip. There's going to be a Strip-side Target in late 2020. It's the location is the former Smith & Wolensky restaurant location near MGM Grand, part of the Showcase Mall stretch of shops right next to Ross Dress for Less.
Becoming pretty impressive. When we drove by on the way to the airport, I was like, hey, they've got some stuff there. They've got Skechers, they've got Famous Footwear, they've got DSW, they've got Ross Dress for Less, they've got a Marshalls.
Wow, look at you memorizing their list. It's not as
But at the same time, lame. They have that stuff everywhere else, too.
Correct.
But if you're going there, if you need footwear especially.
You're a Skechers fan now?
I
don't know. Okay, you're a Skechers fan still? Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't track these things.
Skechers are very comfortable and stylish.
There was a time where you went to like Payless and you haven't been there in like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I can't keep track of all of this, although clearly I've kept track of your Payless activities. I don't fucking know. It's a 20,000 square foot space and it is convenient.
Will they also sell shoes at this Target?
I don't know. It's just scaled back. So I would imagine 20,000 square feet is still pretty good size. I think it's multi-leveled.
Mm-hmm.
They will still have, I would imagine, some clothing.
Yeah.
I would imagine it will be somewhere between a normal Target store mm-hmm. and a Walgreens, which, by the way, is conveniently located right fucking next door. So the only issue I have with this is that really it is a larger version of CVS or Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right next to a Walgreens and right across the street from a CVS. So, location-wise, it would be nice if these things were spread out a little bit more. We haven't had to talk about new convenience stores on the Strip in a while. They finally slowed down their rabbit-like mm-hmm. spawning. And it seems like we have them at reasonable distances from each other, and mm-hmm. we haven't been adding a new one every 6 months. As it seemed a while back, but now we're adding. Are we going to get a Walmart mini, like located in the Link or something?
I don't know.
Walmart doesn't do mini stores, do they?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't really keep track.
All right. So anyway, if you're a fan of Target, you're going to have an option to go to one right next to a Walgreens that will have many of the same items already available. I'm saying this is a little unnecessary, but...
Mm-hmm. Remember when you were like, oh, let's talk about something happy, and now you're kind of cranky again. Did I
deep
read correctly...
cleansing breaths.
...that they're going to have some Las Vegas t-shirts and things? That oh, be
good.
To...
We can't get those anywhere else.
three for $10. Just...
Yeah, the ones that just say Las Vegas on them, the yeah. generic... I don't understand. Well, I do have the... I guess if they're cheap, I get the idea of buying the generic t-shirt, but mm-hmm. I'm always a little... like. If you're going to go somewhere and buy a souvenir t-shirt, don't you want something a little more specific than just the city name?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like that place at the back of Binion's.
Exactly.
Look, I have a sweatshirt and it says Las Vegas on it.
Yeah. I want the name of a specific thing within the city limits.
Like Slots
of Fun. Well, not
the
city limits, but the... I don't think Slots of Fun has any t-shirts.
I don't think they do either. If they did, I'd be getting you one.
Yeah. Okay. Moving along before I say some stupid stuff. I'm sorry. Before I say some more stupid stuff. Or continue on so I can say more stupid stuff, depending on your view of this show. Let's talk about the Pinball Hall of Fame. It has the owners of the Pinball Hall of Fame have announced they purchased a chunk of land on Las Vegas Boulevard near the Welcome to Las Vegas sign. They're going to be relocating. The thing is, there's not currently a building on that site, so they have to build a building, and they're raising funds to do so right now. The location on Tropicana that they have right now is going to remain open until the new building is close to ready or ready, when they're moving stuff, when they're ready to move things. That's what I'm trying to say. So it'll be a couple of years before they move, but if you're interested in supporting their efforts and all the fees, they spent pretty much everything they had saved up. I was shocked to find out they had like $4 million
mm-hmm.
saved in, you know, the company, they had $4 million, which Pinball Hall of Fame, I would have, if you had said, hey, how much do you think they have in their banking account? I would have been like, 45 grand. No, they had $4 million stowed away for this. So they spent most of it on the land. They're going to put up a building. You can check out their Facebook page if you're interested in becoming, they're doing like membership tiers so you can get access to.
Did you say the building was going to be shaped like a pinball machine as well?
It is.
I think I heard something about that.
I am unfamiliar with that. I don't know that that's the case. Maybe.
But things could change.
It's a long, narrow, it could, I guess, because the land is a weird shape. It's like a long, narrow stretch. So you could conceivably do that, I guess. I did not read that, but that's an interesting thing. I kind of like that idea. All right, so there you go. That's coming up in a couple of years. Do you miss Diablo's Cantina at Monte Carlo?
Have I thought about Diablo's Cantina for many years? No.
Well, then this story is not for you.
I'm indifferent.
As am I. Diablo's Cantina, which disappeared as part of the conversion of Monte Carlo to Park MGM, is coming back to a new location. It is replacing the current Tacos and Tequila at Luxor, according to Eater. The current restaurant, Tacos and Tequila, will close on November 25th, and Diablo's will be opening in December. We have eaten twice at Tacos and Tequila.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
It's fine. And I would imagine Diablo's will also be
fine.
Fine. It seems like this is... Are they just going to cross out Tacos and Tequila and write Diablo's on there and just call it a day?
Possibly.
I suspect that it'll be open like the first week in December. I don't think they're going to do... Who knows? Maybe they will. Mm-hmm. They'll put up a pitchfork lady in front and...
Call it a day.
Seems like it's pretty much a wash as far as upgrade, downgrade. So there you go. But if you're a fan of Diablo's, it will be coming back to Luxor. So have fun. All right. Finally, we discovered this on the way to the airport after our lovely trip where we were downtown where we stayed downtown. There's a new sign that was unveiled this week. And if you're entering downtown on Las Vegas Boulevard and where it splits off, Las Vegas Boulevard and Main, they have a very nice new City of Las Vegas sign with two showgirls. And they've got, I think there are some like dice. And the sign, I saw some video of the sign. It changes colors. It's a really nice photo opportunity. So there used to be a Welcome to Las Vegas sign, much like the...
Welcome to Downtown Las Vegas.
Yeah, which they needed to do something different. Mm-hmm. So when that sign got destroyed by a car careening into it, they took the opportunity to make something nice. Mm-hmm. And this sign looks wonderful. And they have all kinds of posts around it, so it can't be hit by a car easily, which is a good move. Mm-hmm. But they've set it up so that it's going to be easy for photo opportunities. I think there's some parking nearby, probably at Stratosphere or something. But... yeah, so next time you head downtown, check out the sign. It looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a nice way to welcome people to downtown Las Vegas. All righty.
Speaking of downtown Las Vegas.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so we have a bunch of stuff. When we came home from our trip a couple days ago, I was thinking, we didn't take on as many new things as we often do during our trip, so mm-hmm. we don't have a ton of new reviews for the show. We did a lot of favorites this trip. However, as I started to compile a list of things I want to mention, it became pretty long. Mm-hmm. I think we'll cover most of them next week. But
is it also girthy?
It is girthy and long and hopefully satisfying to all of our listeners. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about right away is our love of Fremont Street and one of the reasons why. In fact, I'll be even more specific. We have often, over the last few years, one of our favorite places to play video poker has been at Four Queens at the
King's Bar,
which opens up onto Fremont Street. And
all the craziness that Fremont Street offers.
Yeah, part of the reason I like to play there, and I know a lot of times people say when the whole drink ticket thing comes up, which they do not have those at Four Queens.
Yeah, thank God.
When the drink ticket things come up, when that discussion comes up, a lot of times someone will say, well, what's the difference of playing at a bar versus playing a normal machine? And there's a bit of a social aspect to sitting at the bar, which is kind of a weird thing. I've been thinking a lot about all this shit.
Okay.
I'm just going to go off the rails here. I don't particularly like table games that much. I'll play them on occasion, but very rarely. I'm not drawn to social gaming situations.
Same.
And yet I enjoy the... social aspect of sitting at a bar and playing video poker.
Yeah.
And there's something different about them. Maybe it's because...
I think part of it is that your luck doesn't depend on the other people at the table and vice versa.
Maybe I feel like I'm not being judged for the way I play. That might be part of it. There's no pressure there. I don't know. It's an interesting dichotomy, I guess. But video poker is the introvert's choice of games, typically. And
thus it is ours.
But the social aspect of sitting in a bar and occasionally encountering interesting people and chatting with bartenders who you get to know over time and things like that. I enjoy that quite a bit. So a lot of times when we play at Four Queens, we will try to play close to the Fremont Street entrance and kind of take in the passing nonsense. So our adventures began. Was it early afternoon?
Yeah.
One day?
Yeah, we had just come back from the strip.
And we were sitting there playing video poker, and you didn't notice her right away.
No.
There was a woman who, I don't think she was probably an actual registered street performer. I think she was just someone hanging about. I don't know what her story is. I know that you shouldn't I feel somewhat weird about making light of whatever the fuck was going on with her, whether it was something in her head or a drug issue
or both.
There's definitely some problems there. However, damn, this was entertaining. So she was wearing a white shirt.
A white tank top.
Was it a tank top?
Yes.
Okay, a white tank top, no bra.
Very obvious that there was no bra.
Yep, them puppies were hanging low.
Oh, were they
And
ever?
She was doing some sort of what could possibly be classified as dance.
Possibly.
But she was in the Four Queens entrance right next to the video poker bar. And I first noticed her because I'm like, well, this is crazy. This is exactly why I sit here to watch this amusing nonsense.
It was like live PD come to life, except without the PD part.
A little bit like that. Well, she made her way to the bar and asked the bartender for a glass of ice water. I get the feeling that they have a the option at these bars to tell people that they charge a dollar. I don't think they do
it to go away.
If you're sitting at the bar, you're not going to be charged a dollar.
No.
If you even walk up to the bar on the inside, I think as a general rule, you're probably just going to be given a glass of ice water if you appear to be a customer. But if there are people who are coming in off Fremont Street, I get that.
Yeah.
You know, coming up to the outside bar.
Especially when you're a little off and you probably don't want people scaring away your regular customers.
Yes. So the bartender said, yes, you can have a glass of ice water. It's a dollar. So she said, okay. And she disappeared. Kind of. She disappeared
into a performance circle.
She made her way to a performance circle in front of Binion's, right across Fremont Street from where we were sitting. And like I said, I suspect if you were to ask her for her credentials, if that is such a thing, she was not going to be a registered street performer.
No, she just found a circle. There was an open circle. Hey.
I'm going to throw down. And she began doing, again, what some may consider dancing.
There were some arm movements. There was a lot of rolling around.
Rolling on the ground. Sanitary.
Yeah.
A couple times, and I wasn't just sitting there watching her the whole time. I would occasionally just glance over and go, oh, yep, that's still happening. I saw some hand crotch action.
And occasionally, so she had the white tank top on, and then she had some black shorts over some sheer black tights. And the reason I know they were sheer is that she kept pulling her shorts down to show us her butt crack.
Yeah, the shorts kept, I don't know, was she pulling
and
them?
Thank God it was from the back. That's all I'm...
Yeah, it was not a fun scene. Well, it was a fun scene. It was entertaining as hell, but it was also somewhat disturbing.
But also like, oh lady, I hope you get some help.
And every so often she would wander across Fremont back into the Four Queens area and do a little dancing there and...
You got the real close-up of, oh, she's really not wearing a bra, is
she? Some of the people who worked there would sort of... I was waiting for security to come. I think security may have been watching, but she didn't really do anything that was... like worthy of being. I don't know that she was technically inside enough for them to throw her out. She was already outside, but so this continued for a while, and every so often we would look. Oh, yep, there she is. She's still going at it over there, rolling around,
waving her arms,
and eventually, about an hour of this,
gyrating
occurred, and she made her way back over to Four Queens, and she presented. Oh,
and behold, she has a dollar.
She presented four quarters to the bartender for her glass of ice water. So he gave her ice water, and then she wandered off again. And immediately, our whole side of the bar
is just dying.
Wash your hands to the bartender, because we saw her grinding on her crotch with her hands and all that. But and then the reality of it took her an hour to earn a dollar. That set in. So that was okay. So then that happened. I've got a guy sitting next to me.
Oh, and I only heard. The last part.
You heard like 2 minutes out of a 15-minute diatribe. I've got a guy sitting next to me who has lived in Las Vegas for 20 years or so, and he's from Buffalo, New York. And so he starts talking about her. And this was as close as I've ever had to being in the scene in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci is telling stories and Ray Liotta says he's a funny guy and then all hell breaks loose. If I had said, you're a funny guy, I suspect the whole same thing would have...
Am I a clown to you?
I was in pain from laughing so hard. So he started out talking about, well, it's a shame, you know, that people get messed up on drugs, whatever she's on. Mm-hmm. And he started telling me some stories laced with curse words, which always makes me feel more comfortable. And then I asked him where he was from, and he said Buffalo, and I said, oh, I'm from Minnesota. You probably don't miss the snow so much because, you know, I love talking about weather. And I wish I could do a proper accent and sound like it's Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. That's what he sounded like. Mm-hmm. He started talking about how he made a pledge he would never shovel snow again. And he goes, I can't do the accent. He goes, let me tell you something. He said, I've noticed, you know, sometimes I go golfing and I've noticed a big difference between the people from the East that were raised on the East Coast and the people that were raised on the West Coast. Out here on the golf course, you've got these old motherfucking ladies who are, they're in their 80s and they look like they're about 40. Back home, they're all grizzled. They've got like claws. Starts going on and, oh my God, it was the greatest thing ever. Yeah, it was quite a conversation.
What part did you hear? The part where he gave the, so they had a whole bunch of snow and the people were plowing the streets and he gave the guy two cups of coffee to do his driveway.
Yeah. These motherfuckers will do anything for two cups of coffee. Oh, it was just,
and then my neighbor tried to offer him beer, but they didn't drink, so I won with my two cups of coffee.
Oh my God. It was one of those O. Fremont moments that we're obviously not doing justice to, but it was, this is why we enjoy playing at the Four Queens Kings Bar.
Mm-hmm. And the bartenders are occasionally
they're coming in and out of this. And the bartender who served that woman like was soaking his hands in the sink afterwards. It was just the greatest. Fremont Street. This is why we love Fremont Street. Ridiculous tales of craziness and characters and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I love that shit. So, we had a wonderful time in Las Vegas. That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking next week about our trip extensively and some of the things we saw and did. And we'll have a good time doing so.
Yes, we will.
I feel like my list is incomplete, so you might need to add to it if there's things I missed. All right. Should we take some phone calls?
Sure.
If you ever get a chance to be in a conversation with a dude that sounds like Joe Pesci, by all means, do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. I have not laughed that hard in a long time. Can't pay for that kind of thing. And he knew I was laughing at like his story. Maybe that fueled him.
Mm-hmm.
But he never he was a friendly guy, but it's not like he was laughing along.
Mm-hmm.
He was just very matter of fact and cursing up a storm when he was describing these old motherfucking bitches on the golf course
with their claws.
Oh God, it was funny. All right, Las Vegas is wonderful. Let's hear from some listeners.
Tim, Michelle, how the hell are you? It's Mark from Atlanta.
Hello.
I want to do a quick trip report. And I say quick, which definitely means this will be a two-part call. But part one, I want to talk about Vegas 2018. A great trip. Absolutely had a fantastic time. I want to start out with some of the gaming and the casinos. I cashed in some comp rooms at both the Downtown Grand and the Golden Gate because my cousin, who lives a couple hours north, came down to spend some time with me, so I let him stay at the Golden Gate. And talking about Downtown Grand, dude, they're doing great business at the hotel and the pool. The casino continues to be slow. It's not dead, but it's just not a wild party that you get at some spots on the Fremont Street Experience. But it's doing good. But I'll tell you what's making them money is Citrus. The pool was packed all weekend. They had a DJ Saturday night. The place was packed. Freedom Beat does good business. And I was talking to one of the bartenders while having a beer and a burger, and he was telling me that they cannot build that next hotel tower quick enough, because the hotel continues to just grow and become bigger and bigger. So that's good news for Downtown Grand, as the hotel and the pool and the restaurant does good. Casino, I mean, again, it's not slam, but it's not bad. Golden Gate, another one. They continue with the renovation. They, while I was there, they closed up the High Limit Room. Looks like they're going to move that and build over that. But the place was good, always busy on the weekends at the Golden Gate. I got a tour of the renovated rooms at the Plaza. In that penthouse, I got like to see the High Roller Whales suite, and that penthouse is amazing. They also offer some brand new pool suites that open up to the pool deck at the Plaza. And then it's a really cool concept. So kudos to the suits of the Plaza. They've done a good job of not letting it become like an old, dirty, downtown, cliched casino.
Yep.
I hope they continue to evolve, because I like the Plaza and I think they're moving in the right direction. Took a coupon run on Sunday to hit the Strip, stopped by Ellis Island, another spot. They're doing really good things. It's slowly kind of moving away from that homeless hotspot it once was. The construction doesn't really interfere with the casino floor or the restaurant, so it was very busy on Sunday morning. Cool staff that works there as well. I always like to try out a couple of new places. I went to Tropicana for the first time. I expected it to be a little more worn down, but it was nice. The inside was good. Cool people, friendly staff, had a good run at the craps table. I walked next door for another spot I'd never been to, which was Hooters Casino, and I hated it. Dude, it was cramped, it was dirty, it was drunk. The blackjack dealer, she was arrogant, she cost me money. I was not impressed at all with Hooters Casino. I don't think I'm going to be going back there. Also hit up SLS. You know, I just feel bad for that place. I mean, whatever they're going to do, the rebranding, it just cannot come quick enough, because SLS, while it smelled good and looked pretty, it just was not busy at all. Downtown about the same. El Cortez still smells great. The D, always busy. So downtown was a lot of fun. I'll call you back in just a minute with a complete update on food, drink, and the best and worst food I had in Vegas.
All right. Good call. SLS, inspiring pity since 2000, whenever it opened. Yeah. Yes. I wonder when they're going to start working on the Downtown Grand addition, the new tower. That'll be a good thing to have. More new rooms downtown.
If you have a hangover and want a quiet place to play.
It's a good place. We did not even go in there this time.
We did not.
All right. Moving along to our next caller, Ray. Oops.
Hello, Michelle and Tim.
Hello.
I am Ray from Los Angeles.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
I'm calling with two reports from two different recently renovated rooms. One at the
Please share them with us.
Cosmopolitan and one at the Park MGM. Let me start with the Park MGM. I stayed in one of the renovated rooms. It was decorated in olive green, similar to the casino floor, which I thought was actually pretty good. And they have a nice big TV. Another plus was that they have new fixtures in the room, a lot more outlets. Their shower head was absolutely great. So those upgrades were really good. The negative side is that, you know, the room is still small. They have a weird sliding door that slides either the closet. It covers the closet, and then you slide it over to close the bathroom. Like, the bathroom doesn't have a door. So I thought that was weird. So overall, I think that property is still at like a three out of five stars when you compare it to its next door neighbor, New York, New York, and the Tropicana. I think it's still on that level. They have a long way to go before they would ever be at the Aria New York, excuse me, at the Aria or the Cosmopolitan level. So overall, I can't see them raising the rates for that kind of room. So there's my report on that. I'm going to call back and leave your report on the Cosmopolitan. Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you for that call. We appreciate it. I think we did not go to Park MGM this trip.
No.
We did last time.
What were you comparing to Park MGM?
We will discuss that next week.
Okay. All right. Yes. Spoiler.
Yes. There's. Yeah. We'll discuss something.
Okay.
Something that we checked out and how it compares to Park MGM's.
Yes. Oh, that. Okay. I remember what it was now.
Yep. We have another review of Park MGM from Dorian.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Dorian calling from Kansas City. The last saw you guys in the Cromwell and got my Vegas hug. That was nice. I wanted to call about my trip to Park MGM / Monte Carlo. Three nights comps, only real reason that I went. And everything was pretty bad. I had to change rooms three times because things in the rooms just didn't work. The shower didn't work. Didn't drain right in the first one. The lighting, electrical systems didn't work. I mean, it was amazing. And the whole remodel just kind of looked really cheap. Checking in was not good. The kiosks were bad. They didn't work correctly. So you ended up having to go to the only two clerks that were there and check in that way, and so it took a long time. The overall look of the place was, to me, again, cheap. I thought they spent a lot of money for nothing. The hallways with the rooms are like really deep, dark green. The hallways are just dark and depressing. So not very Vegas-y. This place is like super un-Vegas. Anyway, not a good trip. Wouldn't go back. Don't recommend it to anybody. I wanted to tell you about Auto Slash. I had a trip planned to New York. I could only get a car rental for between $650 and $700. It looked everywhere. And after hearing about Auto Slash, I tried that. I ended up getting the same car rental for $300 and saving a ton of money. So thanks for letting us know about Auto Slash. That is legit. It is real and it works. And highly recommend it. Love the podcast. Love you guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks for that report. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you for using our sponsor.
Indeed. That is awesome.
Yay. Glad you saved some money.
A couple people have asked about Auto Slash because we're not doing the spots every week. They're still sponsoring the show. It's just on every few shows. So We are happy to support them and we're happy that they support us. And it's a great thing. We love having them as a sponsor. All right. So, yeah, Park MGM continues to get, and it's not complete yet. They're still working on it. But I think the hotel part, you know, he stayed in a renovated room. It's not a great sign that stuff is failing.
My hunch is that the best thing about that property is going to be the theater.
Yeah, exactly. Not, well, we'll see once Eataly opens if that's a thing or
true.
Not.
True.
Yeah. Although that, like, I feel like that's destined to be disappointing.
I know. They're putting so much into that. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully by the end of the year, they'll have that shit wrapped up. Moving along. Next caller, please.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. Sal from Connecticut. Midway through my 27th trip to Las Vegas, staying at the Aria, $20 trick got us a corner suite at the Aria in a tower suite room. Which has that awesome full view, and access to the Tower Suite Lounge. It's been a really fun and enjoyable trip so far. The one thing I wanted to call in that I haven't heard talked a lot about on the podcast, and thank you very much for the great job you do. A lot of information helped us on previous trips and on this trip. But the one thing I don't hear a lot talked about is the Aria Spa. It's a great way to spend a relaxing afternoon. I spent quite a few hours there today in the hot tub and the eucalyptus room. And you could read, obviously, all of this online for the listeners. But it's just a cool way to kind of relax and be able to enjoy some quiet time out of the sun and out of the heat. Yes, I understand it's the summer in the desert. But I wanted to say that I really highly recommend that people check that if they're staying at the Aria. Okay, hope to call back with an additional report before we leave. Thanks for everything. Bye. Hey,
all right. Glad calling. You had a good experience there.
And I hope you got there before the 20% charge went in. Yeah,
I hope I have like the most relaxing thing about something referred to as the eucalyptus room to me would be if there were like pandas in the corner nibbling on eucalyptus.
And koalas.
Koalas, that's what I'm thinking of. Not pandas. Koalas. Thank you. That would be wonderful. That would relax me.
Mm-hmm.
Adorable.
Little furry creatures.
I keep saying pandas. Adorable koalas. Don't they smell, though?
Yeah.
But I don't want them to smell. I want them to be adorable.
Maybe the... How about if they're far enough away where they just look cute?
Separated by a sniff-proof glass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, that would be great. That does not... That's not a thing, though. It's just in my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
When I open my animal-themed... No, I wouldn't do that because I don't like zoos.
No.
But I do like Monkey Poker Dome. I'm conflicted. I want koalas in my spa.
Uh-huh.
I want monkeys playing poker. Mm-hmm. And yet I don't want the animals to be entrapped.
Right.
Damn it. Another Las Vegas conflict for me. I can't resolve these things in my head. I can't have everything I want. All right.
Tim, Michelle, how the hell are you? It's Mark from Atlanta. I'm going to give you a little quick part two of my trip report from Vegas 2018. I want to get to the food and the drink. Freedom Beat at Downtown Grand, a great casino restaurant. They are also very, very good about offering the deals and the coupons and the gambler specials. So big shout out to Freedom Beat. Also, Brightside at Plaza. I know you guys have talked about it before. Very impressed with that. Really good and expensive breakfast sandwich. Now, if you're out on the strip, and you're around the Link, I highly recommend Jaw Burritos at the Link. It's a cool concept. It's a sushi burrito. Doesn't sound like it works, but it does. And the best part is, it's filling, but it doesn't make you like super overly stuffed full. There's nothing worse than stumbling down the strip with a full stomach and a buzz and you feel like you're going to puke. But Jaw Burritos, check that place out. Back downtown, I cannot recommend this enough. Stay away from the 99-cent shrimp cocktail at Fremont. It does not fill the void left by the closing of DuPars. I cannot say this enough. You see the picture out front of this fresh, crisp glass of shrimp and cocktail. No, it was a small plastic glass with a chunky, spicy ketchup and some glob of green mess and some shrimp meat byproduct. Oh, it was horrible. It made me sad, I'll be honest. It just made me sad. However, what picked me right back up was the Project Barbecue food truck and on the Fremont Street experience. And you're able to use your D and Golden Gate comps points to pay for food at the barbecue food truck. So really good food there. I highly recommend checking that place out. Another good spot for a cocktail is the Vanguard Lounge. Just a good retreat from the smoky casinos downtown. If you want a good cocktail, hot little bartender. I told her what I was in the mood for, and she put together a couple of really good drinks. Also, American back on the Link. I think they have some coupons in the American Casino Guide, but I mean, it just drips with USA. I mean, it's over the top patriotism, but it's in a fun way. And a good spot for a drink, and it's relaxing to get out of the heat. But a couple of final observations from Vegas 2018. Guys, I think we've hit our quota for fat guys and thongs and fat women and pasties on the Fremont Street experience asking for tips. If I saw one, I saw 15. That's good. Hey, fat guys, we get it, man. You in a thong is really funny the first time. By about 26, you're done with it. And if you want the place to yourself, visit downtown on a Monday morning. I've never been there. My trips are usually Thursday to Sunday. I've never seen the place on a Monday morning. The weekenders are gone and the locals are at work. It's just you and the homeless. Bonus, cocktail service was super fast. And finally, guys, I talked to some people around Fremont Street Experience, some of the workers. They're not very excited about the 18 Fremont project. They're scared it's going to take away from some of the charm of downtown by bringing in a strip-like resort to downtown Vegas. So that was kind of interesting to hear that from more than one person, but we will see. Anyway, guys, thanks for everything you do. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and I'm sad that Vegas is over. But I've already started planning for Vegas 2019. We'll talk to you soon, guys. See you.
You can tell that Mark is a radio professional because that call was exactly 3 minutes.
Nice.
He's got some experience talking up the post, guaranteed. Bang up job with the report. That doesn't surprise me. That, you know, change is scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. As the new things come along downtown, you're going to hear that. We're going to have plenty of, I remember when I stayed at Las Vegas Club for $16. Yeah, well. It was almost turned into a CVS with two empty hotel towers. So
exactly.
Suck it up. All righty. Yes.
I don't remember. We didn't make it to Project Barbecue, and that makes me a little sad. No. I was craving that.
I know. Well, there's a lot of things we didn't get to that we intended to.
Bomb tacos we didn't get to.
That's the post-Vegas regret.
Yes.
That's the only thing like, oh, but we didn't do that thing that we wanted to do.
So what we need to do is for our next trip, put those at the top of the list.
All right. We'll have to reprioritize.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be first and second day items. Those things we really, really wanted to do that we didn't get to. And then all will be right with the world. That's why you keep going back to Las Vegas. You never can get everything in after a while. As I listen to these calls and as I reflect upon my own trip, and I going back to my, I didn't even use the This Week in Outrage. I should have used
provided it.
I know, I did. But anyway, the whole MGM thing and like people getting irritated and stuff, all that stuff, like it irritates me. It irritates everyone.
Doesn't keep you from going to Vegas.
No, and not everybody. A lot of people are like, okay, Vegas is, it's going to be over soon. As soon as they start taking away free drinks completely, it's going to be over and all that stuff. Maybe, but I still come back from a trip and am like glowing because I had such a great time there, despite all that stuff. That's why sometimes I think it would almost be better not to be this obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Because that stuff, it's there and it's in the background, but you don't know about it or you don't pay attention to it until just before a trip. It's you get worked up about it, but then, you know, you go to Las Vegas and you end up having a really good time and it's like, well, all that stuff I was irritated about didn't really matter in terms of how I enjoyed my trip. It's a weird thing.
And then you came home and you found other things to be irritated about.
Oh, there's always plenty of things to be irritated about. There's no shortage of that, for sure.
Oh, I know.
Yep. All right.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Jean from California calling about my most recent trip to Vegas. Couple things. The Mob Museum. It's totally worth it. Excellent exhibits. Truly connects Las Vegas to the bigger histories of the mob. Very much enjoyed it. The Speakeasy. Loved it, too. Problem is it didn't open until 11. So that was a bit of a problem. And really, I'm calling because I want to let listeners know that Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays in Vegas, sometimes things aren't open yet. Sometimes things aren't open until Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So call ahead and ask them. Because the Speakeasy, they told me because it was a Monday morning, they weren't opening until 11. Fortune Cup, silly fun, silly horse racing fun, $2 minimum bet. It's kind of like slots if you don't want to play slots. Loved it. Outdoor gambling at Golden Nugget, they have the tub craps right now. It's very fast, but it's fun, especially fast when it's so darn hot out because we lasted about a half an hour and then we had to move on, but we were up. Let's see. We stayed at the Cromwell for two nights, which we loved. It's like a mini Cosmo. And we did not mind that we did not have a view because then we moved on to the Encore, which we, of course, had a lovely view. And those of you who want to stay at the Cromwell, they have a nice little amenity. They have these Lavazza espresso machines in most of the elevator lobbies, which is kind of a fun thing if you want espresso, coffee, hot chocolate for like a morning drink or an afternoon pickup. And then lastly, I just want to add O'Shea's. We stopped at O'Shea's. We were doing like a crawl from the Cromwell trip to the Paris. And we got a frozen Bailey's Irish cream. Okay, this is like the bad decisions of my teenagehood. It made me think of Long Island iced teas and how terrible they are because they're so good and you can't tell when they're going down so fast. So, love the podcast. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
If it makes you feel any better, my Long Island iced tea era occurred well into my 20s, late 20s, before I decided, nah, I should probably not do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now you're just doing it with a different beverage.
I don't do that level of like mindless drunkenness anymore.
Oh, it's mindful drunkenness?
No, it's different. I don't think I have a beverage right now where I'm not aware that I'm consuming as much as I am.
Okay.
That was the whole thing with the Long Islands.
Yeah.
Any of those drinks where you can't taste any alcohol, you're like, I'll just have a seventh. Yeah. I don't really do that anymore. All right. Thanks to all the callers. We appreciate it. We've got some more calls to get caught up on next week. Before we go, we have some people to thank for karma donations. We've got a big list, so I'm holding some of these for next week, too, just because it's a lot. But this week, we want to thank Jackie from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Here's hoping the karma donation will work better than my last, leaving on the 5th for a convention. Hope you had a wonderful time and had a chance to enjoy yourself despite being there for work. Kelly from Canada, our old friend, said, this is a don't believe in karma, just believe in supporting good content donation.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Glad that you enjoy the show. Hope you have a wonderful time. I believe she's in Las Vegas right now. I think I saw something on her Instagram.
Ooh.
She's going to be playing. She said she's going to call in with some bingo action.
All right.
I hope that you're the one yelling bingo. All right. Our friend Vegas Bound 13. We were in Las Vegas. Our trips overlap. We didn't run into each other, although I think we may have been at Wynn at the same time. Because I saw later on that he had posted something about enjoying a Sinatra Smash, and I think it occurred when we were also on property. So I'm sorry we didn't run into each other, but a karma donation for a 5-night stay at Aria that just happened with his wife. He said he appreciates us both and how we help keep the love affair of Vegas going strong.
Hooray.
My Vegas love affair is very strong right now.
I came
away from this trip feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm. It reignited your flame. Well, your flame was already ignited.
Yeah, I was pretty gung-ho going into this trip, and now I've got Vegas in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Fiona, karma donation for an upcoming 10th anniversary trip to Vegas.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Congratulations. Have a wonderful time. Tim with a karma donation. Thank you, sir. Kevin said, love the pod. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
John and Uda, who we did run into in Las Vegas.
It was lovely seeing you again.
Karma donation for their 5-night trip to Las Vegas. They said they're going to call in a trip report, so I'm sure we'll be hearing from them soon. Nicholas, karma donation. Broke even last time I donated, so hoping for at least that, but maybe more. First Royal.
I hope so.
Good luck. Hope you had a wonderful time. Keith said, love you guys. Squeezing in a short trip to Aria. This was last week. Here's a little donation in hopes of a very fortunate series of coincidences. Hope that worked out for you.
Yep.
And he said, do you think it will be hot?
Possibly.
I don't know. I was surprised at how comfortable and I would say cold. It was cold while we were there. Now I'm going to throw somebody off with their packing. It wasn't really cold, but you know, Vegas in the desert, figured it out, as I've said before. All right, finally, TR with a karma donation for a Vegas trip. Hit my first Royal last weekend at the local casino. Here's hoping for my second in Vegas.
I hope so, too. Hope that works out.
Thank you all for your support. Do appreciate it. We'll get caught up on karma donation stuff next week. Oh, we have so much to talk about next week. It's going to be a fun show.
Yes.
500bymidnight.com is our website. 500@gmail.com is the place for Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line is available to you at 702-866-9494. We would love to hear your reviews, your thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. Anything else before we wrap things up?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.